This is another live radio link up brought to you by the Government Communications GCIS.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the GCIS Social Development Radio Phone-In Program that we're hosting in collaboration with a lot of radio stations across the country. Welcome tonight, and I'm your host, Tshegofatso Modubu. And in studio today, I'm joined by Griselda Kotsia Groenewald, as well as Mampaka Rapulu. Griselda is from the Department of Social Development, and she's a social worker there, focusing mainly on social work policy. And Mampaka is from NICDAM. And I'd like Mampaka to just also explain to us what NICDAM does as a civil society organization.
NICDAM stands for National Institute Community Development and Management. And we basically work within communities providing different types of trainings and programs. We work with the different departments such as DSD, Department of Health, in offering the different programs. With DSD, we work mainly with the VEP, within the VEP program. We work within the VEP program where we offer, where we render gender-based violence trainings, but we also do psychosocial support through a program called NAFT. We work with NDOH and NDOH as well as DOH, where we provide programs which include HIV testing and so forth. We also have a college, the NICDAM College, which has different accredited courses where we are accredited with the different CETAs like HW CETA and SACETA. Yeah, I think just about try to sum it up.
And just explain to the listeners at home what you actually do. I mean, this program is really showing the relationship or collaboration government has with civil society in the fight against gender-based violence. Hence, our show today is actually going to focus mainly on the lead-up to the 16 days of activism against violence of women and children, and which is actually starting tomorrow. But Griselda will just give us a little bit of background and familiarize us with what, you know, the importance of what we call in short form as 16 days, and just to remind us why this day is so important for us, starting from the 25th of November, I think, up until the 10th of December.
Yes. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this opportunity. I think it's very important that we are showing the partnership, because even if we look back at the summit that was done on the 1st and 2nd of this, November, even at the summit, the presidential summit on gender-based violence, it was said that government and our NGOs, our civil society, needs to work together to ensure that services are delivered to our victims. And especially with gender-based violence, it is something that is cutting over every department, over every person, because gender-based violence doesn't choose just certain cultures, just certain level of economic development. You can be rich, you can be poor, you can live in a suburb, you can be in a rural area, and gender-based violence will be found there. So even if we look at the theme of this year, the theme talks about the social, economic rights and empowerment to build women resilient against gender-based violence and femicide. That also states to say connect, collaborate and contract in line with 16 days of activism. So 16 days of activism is being done internationally. The first time was done in 1991, and the first time it was done in South Africa in 1992. And from that it grew. That today we have a 16-day program that national alone has 38 events that is being done in all the 9 provinces. This is excluding the activities that each province are doing. So that is your departments that are doing activities. That is your NGO, civil society that is doing activities. And the main focus of every year with 16 days is to ensure that the community understand what is gender-based violence. That we are doing awareness. That our community understands and know where you can find services for gender-based violence. Because we have seen many times that many communities are so used to the violence that they do not report anymore. They see it as normal. And they don't think as a gender-based violence incident anymore. So there is a few things that are going to be highlighted. I don't know if you want to be...
Yes, we can definitely highlight that. I just want to remind the listeners at home to please call us in on 0800-142-446, or they can send us a WhatsApp voice note or just a WhatsApp on 0659355488. I'm going to repeat the numbers, 0800-142-446, and the WhatsApp line is 0659355488. So Griselda, we can definitely continue with you in highlighting some of these important events that community members can attend to really have a higher consciousness about gender-based violence. And I think, as the theme says, connect, collaborate, and contract. So I think the events themselves speak to this call to action, that people can connect and collaborate against this fight of gender-based violence and femicide.
Yes, I think one of the built-up activities this year already that we started on was the biannual National Men's Parliament that was done for the past 2 days. So that was a highlight. That was men standing up saying, but we are standing up for gender-based violence. Then I think another thing that is very important is the linkage between substance abuse and gender-based violence. So there was an anti-substance abuse festival season campaign launch that was done yesterday as well. And this launch was for Gauteng, but the anti-substance abuse launch will be done in many of the other provinces as well to make the provinces aware, the communities aware. Then we have the national launch of 16 days that is on the 25th of November. That will be done at NASREC with all the ministers and with the president that will be there that will be launching 16 days. Then I think another thing that is very important is that in December, we are going to hand over, we receive a house from the Department of Public Works that is in the Gariep district in the Free State. Now, the Gariep district doesn't have a shelter. If I remember correctly, there's like 17 small little towns in that district, and they do not have a shelter. So this house will become this shelter for the district. So that will be done on the 8th of December, that we are going to do that. So I think that is very important as well. On that same day, we are going to have a dialogue with 300 men regarding gender-based violence and to say, what can they as men do for their community where they are? How can they make sure that a woman feels safe and secure in their own community? And then another thing that is going to be highlighted in this time is a teenage pregnancy and child killings. That will be happening in Mpumalanga on the 9th of December. We are also having a children online safety that will be done on the 5th of December. And if we have seen, I think it came out during COVID period, how human trafficking, how our children were unsafe on the internet. This is very important because if we just look at the stats, how our children are being killed, and this 16 days say activism against women and children. So our children is important. But I also want to highlight to say, yes, 16 days is a highlight. But DSD is working. Department of Social Development has a 365-day program, meaning right through the year, awareness are being done. Then also, the department will be at the Berlin November in East London. We also said we must go to where entertainment is. We must reach these people where they are feeling happy, where there is something nice for them to do, and not just always in community hall, someplace where they can be reachable. We must go to the people. So we will also be there for 2 days, and there's also radio interviews that will happen. There will also be a stall. There will be social workers that will help with debriefing, trauma consultation, that will be there for people that they can access them. Then just a last thing that I think that is important, the closing event will be held in Gauteng. And we are going to go to the Noord Taxi Rank, and we are going to talk about human trafficking. We want to engage. We have started with Santaco. It's a partnership with Santaco. And we've started it in October. And this is just building on our partnership because we know that many of these taxi drivers do know. They see things, especially if you are traveling from Mpumalanga, Limpopo to Gauteng, Eastern Cape, Western Cape. They see and they hear. And if the way that we are doing this now is to educate them, to say, if you hear certain things, please report. Pick up the tips. Yes, see the warning signs so that we can ensure that our community is safe.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Griselda, because the three programs that I've hosted have definitely touched on those areas. We did have Santaco women on this show about this particular program and also how online safety of children is also part of, what contributes to human trafficking. So I do think that it's good that the Department of Social Development is extending these messages to ensure that they reach all communities. Because the last time it was in Pretoria at the Bosman Taxi Rank, and now I see you're going to Noord, and which is good because it's in December where there's high traffic at the Noord Taxi Rank. So we really applaud the department for that. If we can come to you, Mampaka, and just talk about the hotspots for gender-based violence. Today, Minister Bekicele, Minister of Police, released, the quarterly crime stats, and obviously there were issues there related to gender-based violence. But if we can just give the listeners a sense of where are the hotspots, and then we can come back and also just have a discussion about what contributes to a specific area being a hotspot for gender-based violence and femicide.
Currently, the top 30 GBV hotspots around the country include Delft, which is in the Western Cape, Mamelodi East, and Tembisa, which are both in Gauteng, and Umlazi, which is number 4. There's also Boomspruit, which is in the Free State at number 17, and Butterworth. I'm just naming a few from the 30 national hotspots that have been published. There's Ikageng, which is in the northwest as well, as part of the hotspots.
Yeah, so because I know that also through the National Strategic Plan Collaborative, which is the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence, some of the hotspots you've mentioned were actually targeted for quick, rapid intervention through the 100-day challenge. So what I'm appreciating is, again, it's a demonstration of how civil society and government has worked together to make sure that these don't just remain hotspots that are listed, but these are actually areas where there is some concentrated intervention. Griselda, if you can just share with the listeners, what contributes, to possibly an area becoming a hotspot?
I think what we must look at is there's a lot of root causes that contribute to gender-based violence. So if we look at the area, let's say Mama Lourdes, for instance, one of the main root causes is substance abuse and unemployment. Mm. And I think if we go through many of these areas, this is what that is: substance abuse, unemployment, and also the culture of violence. I think if many, if we look at Delft, we have 10-year-olds that are shooting people. It's violence. They are growing up in a society where violence is the norm. If you want to fix something, you need to be violent. We are growing up in a society where patriarchy is still there. Even if we have done all of this, we're growing up, if you go to Limpopo, traditional, you know, we have a lot of traditions that is there. And we are not saying that traditions is bad. We are saying it must be safe for our women and our children. And when I talk about children, I'm including the boys. That is important to understand that we have, many people will always think women and girls, but there's a lot of young boys that are being sexually abused, that are being raped. So they are part of these children. So each, I want to say each hotspot has their own root causes. But if we look over all of the root causes for gender-based violence, you can see that unemployment, substance abuse, patriarchy, and the culture is the root causes for them.
That's I like the fact that these cut across cultures, you know, sexual orientation or identity, age as well. And I think that it's important for people then to not stereotype around gender-based violence. Mampaka, gere ka bolela le batheledi ko gae, ra botsa gore, you know, don't push stereotypes. So that re kgona go fokotsa this gender based violence and femicide, re ka reng go bona?
I think it's very important for our communities to understand where gender based violence stems from. I think if we have the general understanding of how it comes about to become a disease into our communities, it's going to be if we start there, it will be easier for us to be able to understand how to handle it and how to manage it. I'm going to give you an example with the LGBTQAI plus community. Because of the different stereotypes that we come up with as communities in terms of gender identity and who should be what gender and which gender should act how and so forth, there's a lot of stereotyping going on, and that in turn also causes part of the gender-based violence, because we know that the LGBTQI plus community is also affected a lot by the violence through the different forms of violence that they are subjected to. And it all stems down to our thinking patterns in terms of how we see them, because of how we want to how we want everybody to have the same way of thinking. Mm-hmm. We all want to, because we feel that as a woman, you should wear a dress and high heels. If you see somebody who doesn't identify to the norm, then we want to stereotype them, and we want to violate them in whatever manner we can. So I think it stems from just going out and educating it goes back to just going out and educating our community members so that they are able to understand that as people, we are individuals, and we have our own way of understanding certain things.
Okay, thanks. We have a caller on the line. It's Patlo from the Eastern Cape. You can ask your question.
Dumela, how's your pila?
Ke a pila. Le hantle.
Mama. From Alua North Etagalani Community Radio.
Okay, ngiyaxolisa baba, not saying your name kahle. Yebo Patko, ungaqhubeka ngombuzo wakho.
Ngiyabulela kakhulu Sithego. Bengifuna ukubuza apho kwindwendwe zakho ne. Since the city bazaw be se Garib district upper Free State and funa ukonda kuba ke ngoku yeligabaza bebepha eGarib ingaba bazophelela eGarib abazukwazi ukuthi bawelele kwabanye omasipala umzekelo like upper eWalter Sisulu lapha kuthi Eastern Cape in order ukuthi ba spread the message bazabe be spread apha yana eGarib including banikeze the advices komama since sizazi kuba that is 16 days of activism and then ixesha elininzi omama nabantu abayahlukunyezwa ngumbuzo wami wokuqala lowo and then umbuzo wami wesibini kutheni abantu abasuka kwa-social development ufumane ukuthi xa kusondele the into this day ye 16 days of activism kukhona baba active exceptionally elininzi ababi active xa kumele ukuthi bazise those programs kwi-community radio station because siyayazi uba exceptionally elininzi i-community radio station zezona ufumane ukuthi zisebenzisana kakhulu nabantu ekuhlaleni ekubeni bazisebenziseni nabantu ekuhlaleni bayakwazi abantu xa befuna the information bakwazi ukuthi bayishare with i-community radio station and then after beyisherile with i-community radio station and then i-social workers zona uzawubalula umsebenzi wakho kodwa ke ngoku social development akakwazi uzenza ezo nto ezo umbuzo wami wokugqibela ingaba ke ngoku bazawuqinisekisa kanjani since umama uChristel bandimve kakuhle ukuba bathi balwa i-human trafficking basebenzisana ne-taxi association i-Santaco xa bendimve kakuhle kakhulu so ke ngoku ngeyiphi role abazayidlala bona kwicala labo in order ukuthi this thing of i-human trafficking ingenzeki ngoba exesheni elininzi abantu abaninzi baphetha sele ke bethathwa kwenziwe i-human trafficking ilukuthi khange ba-informe abantu abo baya kuye even kwa udriver aend up emjikela egambini apha since nisithi bazawulwa into i-human trafficking ngiyabulela kakhulu ningupatco apha e-Alua North ngizawumamela kutakalani radio.
Okay, enkosi. Siyabulela Patco. His questions, he had three questions. Okay. And his first question is that you mentioned that you're going to the Garib district, but he wanted to know if you'll be going to the Walter Sisulu area. And he feels that all the districts around the country need this information. So I think it's just a case of if there is a particular event that we can share with him and the listeners at Takalani Radio where he's listening to us from. And also his second question, or let me go to his third question. He referenced the partnership with Santaco around human trafficking. And he's saying, you know, what certainty do you really have that taxi drivers can work together with social development and other partners to ensure that, you know, anybody that is potentially a victim of human trafficking can be saved. How are the drivers sensitized or educated to be able to then assist those particular victims? And then his second question, he was saying, why is the heightened awareness currently coming now from social development, particularly using this medium of community radio stations? And I think I can also just answer that to say that this program has been going on for quite a while. And I think this is an investment the Department of Social Development has made because it's realized that its information cannot solely rely on activations. It cannot solely rely on social workers going out to communities. And I think there will be a further rollout of this program. But I will let you answer the questions, and then Mampaka can also chime in as well.
Definitely. Thank you. I want to start somewhere with the last question to say that I think when COVID struck us, we have seen that we need to use other ways of communicating with our communities. So that's when the radio station, we have more radio interviews, we have started using all the social media platforms. And we also have heard that the communities are listening to the radio. The radio's on in the car, the radio's on at house. So it's an easy, effective way to share communication with our communities out there. And the planning is to continue. I think that we have seen that this is working. We have seen that we are reaching people with information. And I think the plan is to continue with this because it's an effective way of communicating. Then when it comes to the Eastern Cape, I must be honest with you, I do not have a list of activities, but I know it, in each province, every year there is a provincial event and there will be events that are done by our NGOs, our civil society. And I think also Mapi can talk about that because they have we have a partnership with NICTEM that has social workers in the hotspot areas, as well as GBV ambassadors. So I'm going to ask her to assist me with this question with Eastern Cape regarding the free hotspots in Eastern Cape. There's Butterworth that we have there, and then we have Lusikisiki and Umtata. That is the free hotspots that we have in the Eastern Cape.
Yeah, regarding the partnership, like Chriselda is saying, DSD has partnered with NACOSA, HWCETA, and NICDEM in implementing gender-based violence programs within the communities in the 30 hotspots. So basically, what has happened is that we have appointed 50 GBV hotspot social workers, which are located in the different hotspots, and as well as 100 ambassadors, which are then also placed in 7 of the 9 provinces. Unfortunately, we are not able to reach all the provinces as yet. So with that in mind, we've now ensured that the social workers in those hotspots and the ambassadors have planned activities for all 16 days for all the 16 days of activism. So they will be a lot of activities that will be coming from our side as the GBV hotspot social workers and ambassadors.
Okay, and I think more information could be found on www.dsd.gov.za. Yes. And I think, you know, the events calendar will be updated on a regular basis. So our listeners like Patco could definitely go to that website. I just want to remind our listeners at home, please call us on 0800-142-446 or send us a WhatsApp voice note or just a WhatsApp on 0659355488. 0800-142-446. That's our studio line. And our WhatsApp number is 0659355488. We can now go back to responding to Patco around the issue of human trafficking and how this partnership with Santaco is actually going to have an impact.
I think we have seen it in, I think it was 2 years back, 3 years back, when one of the taxi drivers in Pretoria, in Bosman Street, have identified human trafficking victims. Mm. And they were rescued. And I think when we are doing training, when we are sharing this information, they don't need to know, like a social worker, all the different things. They need to know what is red flags for human trafficking victims. You know, you are sitting on your phone. We know our people are sitting on our phones. We are talking, we are WhatsApping, we are sending voice notes. And the taxi driver is the one who, especially if you are traveling from here to Eastern Cape, you are talking in a car. You can't just sit still the whole time and not talk. So you will talk and he can start hearing, but this is red flags. This girl is coming from the Eastern Cape to Gauteng, to Joburg, and she's thinking she's going to get a work. But the information that she's sharing is sounding fishy. So I think just a little bit of information can actually have a big impact with our taxi drivers and for our community regarding that.
Okay. We've talked about what gender-based violence could mean across the spectrum. And I think now we can really look at the services available for victims of gender-based violence. And, you know, I'd like this one, we can do it in various languages, so that, you know, we get our listeners to really get it in different languages as well. Yeah.
Okay. So ek gaan nou 'n bietjie Afrikaans praat as dit reg is.
Reg.
I think daar is verskriklik baie dienste beskikbaar in ons gebiede. So by die polisiestasie het ons 'n victim friendly room. So die victim friendly room is basies 'n plek waar enige slagoffer heen kan gaan. As jy 'n slagoffer is van enige misdaad wat betrokke het, verkrachting, wat te doen het met dat jy aangerand is deur jou man, jou vrou, jou partner, dan kan jy soontoe gaan en hulle sal jou help. Hulle sal jou vat, hulle sal seker maak dat jy by die hospitaal uitkom, dat daar die nodige forensiese toetse gedoen word, so hulle kan jou help. Dan het ons ook die Tutuzela Care Centers. So Tutuzela means to care, to hold, to care. So vir dit is wat wonderlik is, dit word gestig deur ons NPA, ons National Prosecuting Authority. So verskoon, mens kan sien, ek is nie meer gewoond net Afrikaans nie. So daar, die dienste wat daar beskikbaar is, is dat die polisie is daar, die maatskaplike werker is daar, jou dokters is daar, saam met jou verpleegsters, en dan is jou aanklaers ook daar. So dit is 'n eenstop sente waarin jy kan gaan, waar jy al hierdie dienste kan bereik. En dan het ons ook ons organisasies. Ons het verskillende organisasies en ek dink, Mampie, jy kan miskien praat oor die verskillende organisasies wat daar is rondom dienslewering, regarding services.
Okay, so we have Chrysalda's putting me on the spot because I now, right, just now I don't mention an organization and they're like, yo, Mampie. But we have different organizations, like Chrysalda says, which offer a range of different services. I can give you an example with the Lifeline, which you can call. That is more a telephonic service that they would give if you're a victim. It works a similar job as the GBVCC. And then we have those that would offer psychosocial support. So they would be the ones that would offer more of a containment type of support where victims are within the community. They would be frontline workers, basically. So as the incident occurs, you can go and report to the organization and they would be able to refer you to the relevant places, as mentioned by Chrysalda, the TCCs and the victim-friendly rooms where you can get those services. Then we have organizations that specialize in mainly shelters for the women that have been abused.
And the men.
And the men as well.
We have men, yes, organizations that are focusing on, you know, many times people forget that men can also be abused.
Yes, yes, yes.
And also behavior change programs for men. So with like a place like Nick Crow has an intimate partner violence program that are being run that will assist with changing of behavior. So daar is regtig waar verskriklike baie dienste beskikbaar. En gedurende 16 days of activism is een van die groot doel is om vir ons mense te verduidelik waar kan hulle gaan? Waar kan hulle hulp kry? Dat hulle nie hoef te voel daar is nie hoop vir my nie. Ek kan nêrens heen gaan nie. Dit is my lewe. Dit is waaraan ek moet gewoond raak. Maar om te sê, daar is plekke. Jy kan veilig voel. Dis opgeleide mense. In elke distrik in ons land is daar een of ander service, een of ander diens, waartoe hierdie persone kan gaan. En dan natuurlik die gender-based violence command center, wat hulle enige tyd kan kontak.
Most definitely. And I just want to share the number for the GBV Command Center, and it's 0800-428-428. And you can also send a please call me to the GBV Command Center, *120*7867#. And those that are challenged somehow can also use a Skype line, and it's called Help Me GBV. So I'm just going to repeat those numbers again, 0800-428-428, and the USSD for the please call me is *120*7867#. And just remember to visit www.dsd.gov.za to find out which activities are happening in your community so that you can definitely participate or take younger ones to get involved in those kind of programs as well. Just to talk about really this collaboration between social development and various civil society, I think this comes from the fact that we understand that gender-based violence has, you know, been classified as like our second pandemic. And hence we had the summit that just passed. And I think the summit was really a demonstration of this partnership. I mean, even the coordination and the organization of the summit was done between government and civil society. And also what I've noticed is that it's important that when civil society and government plan together, they can then monitor each other on implementation. So I just wanted a reflection from you, Mampaka, as well as Criselda, on, you know, how this collaboration is working, why it's important, but also how can we encourage those that are sitting at home and have this fire inside of them to say, I want to do something about gender-based violence in my community. Where do I start? Do I go to my nearest social development district office, regional office? And how do I engage them?
Okay. I think when I look at the presidential summit, yes, it was wonderful to work. If you have looked and see that each pillar had to have a pre-summit dialogue. And during the pre-summit dialogue, if I take now our pillar as DSD was pillar 4, and it was done at Potchefstroom for the Ikageng hotspot area. So when we look at that, we have worked very hard together. It was not just government alone that was running this show. Our civil society was there. We had a great partnership. And I think even if we look at the summit as well, yes, the people were still, there is still things, and we acknowledge that. But the way that we look at the small groups, how effective that was, the discussion groups, all of those things that have happened, and the information that was gathered, I think the partnership is working. I think if I just look at the partnership that DSD have with different stakeholders, like with NICTEM, like with NACOSA, like we also have a partnership with now with Santago. We have partnership with our NGOs because we are funding them. This is a partnership. Every NGOs that are being funded by DSD is a partnership. We are saying that we can't do this alone. We know that. And the partnership that we have even with other departments like SEPS, like Department of Health, like education, all of these different departments that are coming together. And I think that is what's so wonderful for me if we look at the NSP, the National Strategic Plan, because it, in the one hand, it actually forces us to work together and to monitor one another, to say, but you didn't do your part, come to the table back. You didn't do your part, come back to the table. How can we look at solutions to come together for better services for our victims? And I think that is the most important thing with every partnership, is to see how can we ensure that our victims out there is getting an excellent service, that they feel comfortable going to a victim-friendly room, that they feel I can veilig by a police station instap, I can now a school, the meisies wat by school is, can say I can now a maatskaplike werker toe gaan, die skoolmaatskaplike werker toe gaan en kan vir haar gaan vertel. En daardie is al reeds 'n verneemwoordiging van hoe goed dit al klaar werk. Yes, the stats are terrible if we look at the stats. If we think in 3 months, 10,000 women have been raped. And 60% of that women were raped either in their own home or in a partner's home, their boyfriend's home. That is a known person that have raped you. And that is terrible. But it's showing us that we need to do more. We need to work harder. That we need to see how can we improve. And we need to learn. We need to involve our services.
Definitely. Yes.
And with the fact that the government is not going to always be able to reach every single community at all times, the organizations within the communities then stand to play the bigger role, because they are the ones that are more accessible to community members. So the partnership between government and the organizations assists in that. Also, Criselda spoke about monitoring, but also ensuring that you streamline the services to ensure that the services that are provided to the victims are of a certain standard, you know. Ensure that staff members within the different organizations have the proper training, know exactly what to do in the different types of situations. It's very important because we must also remember that some of the organizations that are formed within our communities are formed by people who are doing it, like you were saying, who somebody feels they need, they want to do something about the extent of violence in their communities, and they don't really have the knowledge. So when partnering with the government, they get opportunities to get the trainings, and so that they are given, so that they're upskilled and more capable of offering these services to the communities,
As well as giving like the right type of citizen support.
Definitely.
to someone who's a victim. I mean, Griselda's spoken about the police stations having victim friendly rooms, and I can imagine that our listeners at home might not be fully aware that when they actually walk into a police station, also most of the time, those victim friendly rooms are just adjacent to the main police station. And I think this also has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, gender-based violence strips you of your dignity. It's associated with shame or a feeling of shame. And I think there's been consideration about the type of feelings or how people would perceive themselves. And therefore, hence these victim empowerment centers or friendly rooms are very important. And I think also just alluding to the fact that the Thuthuzela centers are a one-stop shop where one can get all the psychosocial support, get tested by a doctor, you know, so that their rape kit and their DNA and all the forensic stuff is also collected is very important. But my question would be, ordinary citizens that are sitting at home and are too afraid of interacting with these institutions, what can we say to them? You know, what can we say to someone who is either going to be abused tonight or who someone is actually going to witness their abuse? What is the first step that they can take, you know, immediately after their act of being violated or after having witnessed somebody being violated? You know, what are the first steps that we normally advise people?
I would say the first step is the one that requires the most courage, because it has to do with the fact that you have to disclose. And like you were saying, it's not, as a person who has been violated, the general the normal feelings would be those of shame and guilt, which tend to contribute to one's lack of willingness to go and tell somebody or talk about it. So I would say that the first step would be the courage for you to go and talk to somebody. It's not going to be easy, but there are institutions that have been put in place with trained professionals that would be able to welcome you warmly and ensure that whatever you share with them is kept confidential, but then you also receive the necessary help that you have come to seek.
Okay, thanks for that. I just want to remind our callers, because we're going to be wrapping up our program at 7, please call us on 0800-142-446. Also send us a WhatsApp voice note or a normal text WhatsApp on 065-935-5488. We'd really love to have this conversation more interactive with you. So just call us on 0800-142-446. Griselda?
Yes, I will say for me, if you do not feel comfortable going out to a place and you have a telephone with you, pick up the phone and phone. There is, like you said, there's the Gender-Based Violence Command Center number that is 0800-428-428. It's a toll-free, so you don't even need to have airtime. And then we also have Lifeline that is also available. That is 0800-567-567. So there is already two lines that you can use for yourself. And if you don't even need to tell them your name. You don't need to tell them where you are living. You can just speak and they will counsel you. And I think that anonymity, that you don't need to disclose who I am, where I'm from, many times assists a victim, because now they are ready. They feel, I can talk without any shame, without people knowing where I'm from. And that's what I will say is, start there. if you don't know what you're doing, you don't know where to go, or you're feeling ashamed, pick up the phone and phone.
Okay, thanks. We have a caller on the line. You can go ahead with your question.
Yeah, Ujani.
Nyapi, Lunjan.
Yeah, Bumadlal, Mpanini, lo.
Yeah, Babu Madlal. Singaksiz.
Yeah. Even for the ukuthi since we call a campaign 16 days of activism against women and children abuse, you can understand that in Botan is a big corner, as a big Ishan Sama, E province, and Oman Kambama region, so much in the Shalan, they came to try on Kambes Naya, with Kona Kambe, Uti, Uso, Baby, Lazo Shalana, Kuna Sting, Bumas, the Lusu, see Kulum, the discuss. Sithi phansi ngokuhlunza manje besifazane mhlawumbe likhona noma kuzoba kuzoba usuku lokho kuzoba ke national noma alizoba khona kuma province noma kuzoba once of national.
Okay, no, siyabonga baba, sizophendula but kodwa sebashilo bathi azoba khona ama program the whole country, so akuzokuphelela lapho la eGauteng kulaunch noma the closing in one particular province. Wonke ama province, especially ama department we social development kuba province bazoba nama activity everywhere, but u Griselda noma Mpaka will also respond. Siyabonga ngombuzo wakho.
Okay, so I earlier I spoke about the ambassadors and the GBV social workers within the different provinces. So they will be holding different events during the 16 days in the different hotspots. I think I'm not sure where we can share them. I wish there was a way that we could share it.
The activities.
Yeah.
So I've noted, for example, today in the province of KZN, the caller said he's from the King Cetshwayo district. Mm. But I've noted that today there was a handing over of Itlebe Community Care Center, a multimedia computer center handover. And this was in KZN. And again, MTN, the provincial government of KZN, Department of Basic Education, the House of Traditional Leaders, you know, they were there and handing over this IT services, etc., to persons living with disabilities. So there are different programs as well. And I did say that the listeners can definitely check on www.dsd.gov.za, even www.gov.za. There is a dedicated page that they can definitely visit and find the different activities in their provinces. But I think even the different provincial social development department websites or the local office of SASA, I'm sure they can walk in there. There's probably sharing of that particular information as well. So definitely this is a national campaign. And as you've said, Griselda, that this is a 365 campaign. We are just using the 16 days to just create a highlight, really, and just to bring a lot of attention to that. But I'll give it to you, Griselda, as well.
I think one of the campaigns that we are doing every single month is we call it the Orange Day campaign. So the Orange Day campaign is on the 25th of every month that we are asking that people must wear orange. It doesn't matter if you are a man or a woman, you can have an orange tie, orange earrings. And the focus of that is awareness regarding gender-based violence, just to create awareness in your community. So even during the year, in May, June, we have Child Protection Week. We have International Women's Day in March. We have Women's Month. Just last Saturday was International Men's Day that was celebrated. So during the year, there's always activities. And we are asked that all the different units, because it is not just gender-based violence and victim empowerment unit that are doing these activities. We are saying substance abuse unit, come with us. Our HIV unit, come with us. Our children unit, we must work together. Because through that, we are reaching more people. So it is really important that Yes, we are highlighted. Yes, there is more activities during 60 days. Like on the 1st of December is International AIDS Day. So we need this, and we are also busy with disability, persons with disability. It's also during their time. We are also busy highlighting all the persons' abuse, active aging. So there is so many things that are happening that my suggestion always will be is to contact your district office, because your district office will have activities of everything that's happening in your own district, because they are working together with all the different stakeholders that is in the district.
Okay, thank you very much for that. I think just as we are about to wrap up, if we can just remind the listeners at home about the different forms and types of gender-based violence. I mean, I, for one, believe that catcalling is gender-based violence. I mean, catcalling, bagaetsho ko gae ke ga o tsamaya o le mo strateng o le motho wa mosadi kana wa monna, mme o fitlhela e le gore go na le batho ba ba goletsetsang molodi, ba batla gore o ba lebelele, jalo le jalo, mme gantsi o fitlhela le gore motho o dirwang selo seo ga ikutlwe sentle, and it's really not a good thing. And batho ba bangwe ba ka bona gore ga se tlhokofatso, you know, for a man or a woman, mme yone ke tlhokofatso ka gonne gantsi ba tla bua gore o apere jang kana o lebega yang, and that can make you feel very, very uncomfortable. So, you know, what definitely is it that we can just remind the listeners at home about the different types of GBV? Mampaka?
Okay. So I can speak about intimate partner violence. Intimate partner violence is the violation by somebody that you have an intimate partner relationship with. So, or had an intimate partner relationship with. So I'm talking about a boyfriend, a husband, an ex-boyfriend, an ex-husband. That's one type of gender-based violence. There's also sexual violence, which can be categorized into rape, sexual harassment, and pornography. And then I would also like to talk maybe about... this is another one that... We still need to. I think it also talks to the harmful traditional practices, because it's the first. It's the forced and of forced early child marriages.
Ukutwala.
Yes, ukutwala. Yes. So those are just some of the types of types of gender based violence that I can think of now. And also femicide, which is the killing of women because of their gender.
Definitely. And I think economic abuse, and I think this, the theme for 16 days this particular year in South Africa, as well as for Women's Month that passed in August, was really looking at how the fact that we have dire economic situations in our country contributes to particularly women staying in relationships, you know, libahisani, I mean, libaratani, kana, like you say, even ex-partners.
Yes.
But a person will have a relationship with an ex-partner, what we call transactional relationships. Mm. And these definitely contribute to gender-based violence. And I think for younger girls, we call them sugar daddy
yes,
relationships.
Yes, yes.
And I think those are also a breeding ground, definitely, for gender-based violence, because those younger kids are groomed into gender-based violence. Griselda, do you want to chime in here?
I just want to highlight another thing, abuse and emotional abuse. Many people, because you can't see the scars, you can't see the hurt, but if we look at stats, emotional abuse is the second highest abuse that happens after physical abuse. And many times we don't even know that we are in an abusive relationship. We are so used to the way that the person is talking to us. We are so used to that he will say to us, "Ach, jy is niks nie. Jy kan niks reg doen nie. Jy is useless." So we are just taking it. And I think many times, even when you go to the police and you say, "I'm being emotionally abused," many of the time they do not understand that. And I think that is one of the abuse that is overlooked, that we need to put the focus on. Ons moet kyk daarna. Ons moet, as jy saam met jou vriende is, en jy sien hoe praat 'n partner met sy vrou, of 'n lesbian couple, hoe praat hulle met mekaar, en jy kom agter dat dit is nie geskik nie. You need to talk up. You need to talk about it. You need to report. And I think that is something that I want to ask, is that please report. Don't keep quiet. If you are the neighbor, just don't say, yes, this is happening again. Please report. Even with the new Domestic Violence Act that's coming into play, that will commence soon, they are asking that you have the right to report. So okay, please do.
Definitely. We have a voice note. I'm going to take that voice note, and then we will include it with our wrap-up remarks and another last question.
Good evening. My name is PG from Mums. I just want to find out about the campaign. While doing campaign, do you guys include boys and men on your programs for gender-based violence? I just want to find out from there. Are you inviting them to the campaigns? Are they involved in the campaigns for gender-based violence?
Okay. And our second question, as a preventative measure, can we have a group of people from the community that we can go to for intervention before assaults are done? And I think it links to what you've said, Griselda, that how bona mongwe a tlokofatswa khalema o ska tlogela e le gore o bona gore moagisane wa gago o ita mosadi kana o ita bana kana mosadi o ita monna wa gagwe mme wena o bona gore o seke wa khalema kana le go reporta ko mapodiseng ka gonne seo se botlhokwa. Mme Griselda gape o bulele ka gore le batho ba ba ratanang ka bong le bone ga re bona gore ga ba tshwarana sentle, ga ba buisane sentle, re tshwanetse go khalema ebile re reporte. So I do think you've addressed on how the community can definitely get involved, particularly monitoring emotional abuse, because then it can be a preventative measure for more physical and more dire abuse. And then the voice note was asking, do we involve men and boys? And I think this really relates to a very topical issue for people that work in gender-based violence, which is ending toxic masculinity. Mm. So if Mampaka, you can just speak to that.
Look, we definitely do. The ambassadors of which I was speaking about, they are the ones that are basically going out into communities, and I think that's the mistake I made. I didn't really clarify in terms of the roles they play. So the GBV social workers would answer to the care and support, which is pillar 4 of the victims within the national hotspots. And then the ambassadors speak to pillar 2, which is awareness, it's right?
Awareness and yes. Social cohesion.
Awareness yes. And social cohesion. So yeah. Basically what they're doing is they're going into communities and educating community members and spreading awareness around gender-based violence. Some of the activities that they do is men's dialogues. They go around, form groups of men, and have these kind of talks with them. They have been trained. They've gone two, three trainings already, that have helped capacitate them with the skills to facilitate these kind of dialogues. So they are going out into the communities and they are engaging men and young boys about gender-based violence and what they think causes gender-based violence. But most importantly, their understanding of gender-based violence. So we do have such programs within the communities.
Yes, and I noted that the closing event by Social Development in the Gariep District is targeting 300 men. Yes. For the dialogue. So definitely men are a priority in this conversation, because we understand that they're perpetrators and victims. Definitely. As well. I think it's very important to remember that they're also victims. We're going to be wrapping up, and just, you know, closing words, advice to community members, Mampaka, as well as you, Griselda.
In closing, I would like to just say to the community members that we need to be each other's keepers. This culture of keeping quiet when we are faced with situations of abuse in and around our communities needs to come to a stop, because we need to take charge of the abuse that's happening within our own communities. Yes, we can have the help of government departments. Yes, we can have the help of, from the different NGOs within our communities. But it has to boil down to us as individuals taking a stand against gender-based violence and saying, not in my presence.
Thank you. I'm agreeing 100% with Mampi next to me. I will say we have a program that's called Everyday Hero. And that focus on that any person can be an everyday hero by just spreading the word, by just recognizing types of abuse, by just standing up. If you see a person with disability is being abused, to stand up, to report. So I want to say thank you for all the different interactions that we are having with all the community members that are coming to play, with the different stakeholders that are forming forums in the district. We also have our men's forums. We have religious forums. We have all these people with all this knowledge that are working together. So my thing will be, please report and keep up working in your community. Find out where can you be part of. How can you assist? And by just reporting. Thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much. I just want to remind the listeners at home, 0800-428-428. It's a toll-free line. You can definitely call anytime. It's a 24-hour hotline. And the social workers there will be able to counsel you, but also direct you on the next steps you can take. And these could be legal, whether you need a protection order, you know, and how you can report your case, or if you have any challenges with cases that are not being attended to, because we do know that some perpetrators don't comply with laws that are put in place, or protection orders or restriction orders that are put in place. Or you can send them a please call me on *120*7867# or just the Skype address, help me GBV. And I'd just like to say to the listeners at home, thank you very, very much to all the different community radio stations that are dedicated to taking this program and airing it on a weekly basis. We really appreciate you and your listeners at home. And from me, Tshegofatso Modubu, and the guests in studio, we'd like to say good night. We're signing out. Thank you.